First Peter chapter 4, let's begin again. I'm sharing on the subject of grace, the amazing grace of God. And last week we talked about how that there are different types or different kinds of grace, measures of even grace for different tasks. And because this is new to a lot of people, I want to quickly review that, and then we're going to get into something that I really enjoy sharing on. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we saw last week that the gift is the manifold grace of God, and that's how we serve one another. That's how we minister. That's how we're able to walk in a supernatural kind of love one for another, and forgiveness one for another, and not hold grudges and things of that nature, is because of this manifold grace of God. The word manifold means marked by diversity or variety, multivarious, different forms or types. See, there are different forms or different types of grace for different tasks. There is a grace to pastor that if you don't have that grace in your life, you can't pastor a church successfully. You can't pastor a church and overcome the pain, the challenges, the opposition, the hurdles, on and on it goes with what comes with pastoring. But if you have a call, then God gives you a measure of grace. And we've seen what grace is. Grace is God's power. Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's strength in human weakness. And so if I can receive the grace of Jesus, the grace of God that comes with pastoring, then I can pastor successfully. I can pastor without burning out. I can pastor without giving out. Amen. And you have a call too, and you have a gift and a measure of grace for a specific task too. And that's why you have to discover what I'm talking about. You have to learn to receive of the grace of God. You got to know that grace does not cover sin. That is a religious misnomer that has been propagated so successfully that people say that all the time, and it's nowhere in the Bible. And I've showed you, and I just read to you again, love covers the multitude of sin. Sins are covered, but it is love, God's love, that covers sin. Grace doesn't cover sin. Grace breaks the power of sin in our lives. Grace empowers us to live holy. Grace is God's strength, God's ability to overcome temptation, to overcome sin, to overcome the world, and things of that nature. So we better learn about all these different kinds of grace that's available for different tasks and learn how to go get it. And learn how to go get it. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about the grace of God and the different kinds, the different measures of grace. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about an abundance of grace. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 5, and let me get out of the way finally the most difficult thing concerning grace to share in church. Now, you can share it outside of church and people get excited. But if you try to share what I'm about to say now at church, usually people bow up, they back up, and they give you that deer in the headlight look, and then most of the time, unfortunately, start to shut you down. And we don't want to do that. We want to always be open to learn, to grow. We don't know everything. We haven't arrived. I don't care where you are in your walk with the Lord, how mature you are, how much you've developed. There's more maturity for all of us to enter into. Amen? There's more knowledge. One of the greatest challenges of dealing with religious people is there's a know-it-all attitude, and the Bible says definitely knowledge puffs up, and boy, that's the truth. People get just enough knowledge about the Bible and just enough knowledge about the things of the kingdom to become dangerous instead of entering on into a knowledge of God that humbles you instead of produces pride. Well, one of the things I heard my whole life and I want to clarify it, is that grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. And usually people who believe that definition have no idea about how grace means power, God's power, where you have no power. And grace means God's ability, where you have limited ability. And grace means God's strength perfected in human weakness. They kind of get stuck on this unmerited favor thing, and that's about the extent of grace and the knowledge of grace that's working in their lives. And we don't want to do that. Now, listen to me carefully. There is a favor associated with God's grace that is unmerited. But that's not the scriptural definition of grace. Now, in the Greek, the word grace is charis, and it means divine favor. Divine favor. Number two, a kindness performed that was not earned. A kindness performed that was not earned. Now, see, that makes sense to me how somebody, who knows who, put that definition together and formed a term, a religious term, unmerited favor. Because it is divine favor. There is a divine favor associated with grace, and it is a kindness. Everyone say kindness. It is a kindness performed undeserved. Here's a term that we have that would make sense to you is gracious. Have you ever said that person was gracious? Have you ever had anybody say about you, you were gracious? Man, that was dead silence. Some of you have never performed a kindness that was undeserved. Man, no wonder I look good around here. I'm performing kindnesses that people don't deserve all the time, and that's called being gracious. Now, as far as God's power, and again, if you define a word, you could put that definition where that word is found in the Bible, and it would fit if you give it a proper definition. In other words, if grace means unmerited favor, then you should be able to plug the word unmerited favor in everywhere in the Bible where it says grace, and it would make sense, and you'll find it doesn't. But if grace is God's power to do what you don't have the power to do, if grace is God's power to be and make you what you don't have the power to be and make yourself, if grace is God's strength in human weakness, if grace is God's ability where you don't have any ability, you can put that definition of grace anywhere in the Bible and it fits the context of the scripture. So you need to do that. Now, what is, though, this graciousness? What is this favor that's divine that we did not deserve and it was God's kindness? See, grace is twofold in my life, at least. The first measure of grace that was given to not only me but the whole world was the grace of God in Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago. See, God showed you kindness and gave you divine favor by hanging His Son on the cross 2,000 years ago and took all your sins. He bore your punishment. He bore your death. That was gracious of God. That was grace. That was a divine favor and a kindness that you did not deserve. So that's grace past tense. But see, there is grace in my life in Jesus present tense that's working in my heart and in my life. That's God's power, God's ability, and God's strength to be a Christian, to be a new creation, to be the righteousness of God. See, you don't have the power to save yourself. Can I get a witness? So what saved you? God's grace through your faith. You don't have the power to become a new creation, but you are. How'd you become a new creation? By God's grace through faith. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, and I don't mean to keep going over these things, but people need to hear it and hear it and hear it. Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. And God's grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, if grace just meant unmerited favor, how does that make sense? That God's unmerited favor was what caused me to labor more abundantly than all the other apostles? No, but God's power, God's strength in human weakness, God's ability to be who you are and do what you do, it makes perfect sense. So God's grace has a favor associated with it. You didn't earn this power. You didn't deserve this new ability. You didn't deserve this strength that is perfected in human weakness. It comes to you freely. It comes to you undeserved, past tense, 2,000 years ago, and it comes into our lives. Grace comes into our lives by Jesus Christ as we respond to this new life on the inside of us, the grace of God. Grace is in Jesus. Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace of God that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is in Jesus. Grace displayed 2,000 years ago at the cross, and grace being displayed in my life and in my heart right now through this man, Jesus Christ, that's in my heart. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, again, there is a favor, and it was unmerited. You didn't deserve what Jesus did for you on the cross. That's grace. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going to go. How about you? Okay, some of you aren't sure. You didn't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going. Why and how? By God's grace, through my faith. I can't make myself righteous. Grace, God's power, God's strength, God's ability displayed at the cross in Jesus and made real in my heart through Jesus, that's grace, through my simple faith has made me righteous. Well, when I understand that it's not unmerited favor in the sense of that's all there is to grace, is unmerited favor. Now I understand how there's different forms, different kinds, different measures for different tasks. Now I understand how that I got to go get it. I can't earn or deserve it, but I have to go get it, and I'm going to show you later in time of need. In time of need. And I'm going to show you where it's at, where you can go get it in time of need. Because this is a daily thing. Christianity is a daily thing, amen? It's not a weekend ritual. It's not a hit or miss proposition. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. All right, Romans chapter 5, I want to share about abundance of grace and how that we can grow in grace. We can increase in grace. See, if grace was just unmerited favor, how could you increase in it? How could you get more of it? How could you grow in it? Unmerited favor is unmerited favor. If you have unmerited favor, you got all there is. And if you didn't deserve it, then there's nothing you can do to get more of it. Yet, grace can be grown in. Grace can be increased in your life. There's a lot the Word of God says about grace that we've got to look at. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. Now, we know from those passages how sin got into the world and how death got into the world and who brought it. God didn't do it, amen? Adam did it. Adam, through Adam's sin, death reigned. And because we were in Adam, we were all born into sin and death and the dominion of that sin. Verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many or of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Notice you've got sin and death, and it came by one man. Then you've got grace, and it came by one man, Jesus Christ. And not as, verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense, that was Adam, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Notice that if you're going to reign in life, you're going to have to receive an abundance of grace. Amen. Now you know why we're not reigning. We don't even know what grace means. I have gotten probably attacked more on these kind of messages than anything I share. Yet everybody that's ever attacked me, I've asked them to show me then where I'm wrong in the statements I'm making. Maybe sometimes my attitude's not right. Is your attitude always right? I try to keep my attitude right. Amen. I work on it. I don't want to attack anybody. I'm not coming after anybody. But I want to reign. You need to reign. You're not going to reign. You're not going to overcome. You're not going to prevail unless you know how to receive an abundance of grace. It takes an abundance of grace to overcome sin, because sin is a power. Death reigned by one man, Jesus Christ. Sin reigns in our mortal bodies. Sin reigns in the earth. It's a power. That's why Romans 6:14, once you see what grace is, it says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. See, grace doesn't cover sin. It breaks the power of sin, because sin dominates you independent of Jesus. That's why religion won't cut it. That's why willpower won't cut it. Do you know you've got some power in your will? And you know you can resist sin for a season with your willpower? Okay, everybody okay? Yeah, you can say no with willpower. And some of you say no longer than others because you're hard-headed. It's not because you're holy. You're hard-headed. You're that way about everything. But it's a power that exerts itself against your will, and your will in time will crack under the pressure of sin and its dominion and ability to rule over you. And anyone who's honest, and I know at church that's hard to find people like that, but anybody who's honest, not just being religious, but honest, knows that, man, it's like sometimes something's driving you. You really don't want to do it. You're saying no. You're resisting, but you get weaker and weaker and weaker. It seems to get stronger. Then you try to fight it with legalism, and you just empower it. That's why more people are failing and falling who go to church than some people in the world even, because we come under law. We try to fight sin with law, with legalism, with rules. And it just strengthens it. And that's hard to get that concept over. It takes years. You keep coming, I'll get it over, I guarantee you. But it does take, for some people, years to get that concept. Because it sounds contradictory that, well, if I'll just go to church and I'll just learn all the don'ts, and, you know, I want to do better, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do better. You start off, and boy, it gets stronger. And you keep going, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not. And some of us just wish you'd go ahead and do it. You're miserable. You're making us miserable. You're fighting sin, brother. Amen. It's a power. It's not just a choice, though choice is involved in sin. It's not just moral and immoral, right and wrong. Man, it would be cool if this thing was just about, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, choose, and that's it. It'd be a piece of cake. But see, sin is a power. And I get tickled at people all the time that say they don't understand other people's weaknesses and other people messing up, making mistakes, that they can just quit anything they want to quit or do anything they want to do and not do anything they don't want to do. These people are lying, or they're walking in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell when you're walking in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be happy, you'll be thankful, you'll be humble. So usually these people are lying. You're like, well, why can't somebody just lay them cigarettes down? I don't know. Why can't you lay the remote control down? Come on. Won't you lay the knife and fork down? It's a power. And when you focus on it with law and willpower, you strengthen it. And so sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Grace is a higher power than sin. That's why he goes on to say in verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, that was Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, and the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that was Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin, now watch this, that as sin hath reigned unto death, Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like sin reigned and drove you into death, grace and an abundance of grace can reign and drive you into an abundance of life. I like it even if it ain't true. It sounds great. It sounds like good news. It sounds like, wait a minute, what the devil did in Adam and reigning through sin, God did the opposite in Jesus and will reign through and by grace and an abundance of grace in your life. If you can just learn how to receive grace, if you can learn how to grow in grace, if you can learn how to get an abundance of this stuff. If grace is God's power, God's strength, and God's ability where you don't have any, wouldn't you want an abundance of it? Yes. It's the grace of God that brought me where I'm at today. What do I mean by that? Not unmerited favor. It's God's power where I had no power. It's God's strength in my human weakness. And it's God's ability to do what I do and to be who I am that brought me here. If I can learn how to get an abundance of it, I can go from where I'm at now, which is awesome in the sense of where Jesus has brought me, but what's ahead for me if I can receive an abundance of grace? You can't receive an abundance of unmerited favor. If you have unmerited favor, you have all there is because you didn't merit it. So you can't have some and then go get more. Unmerited favor would be limitless unmerited favor. But you know, I could use a little more power. How about you? I could use a little more strength. I could use a little bit more of God's ability, not human ability. Amen. And you know, when you think about it like that, every one of you have a great testimony of what God's brought you out of. I know some of you, you're awesome. So you didn't like that either. I'm talking, you were a mess. And you actually look and sound human. That's grace. But that same power that saved you, that same power that made you a new creation, made you a son, can also make you holy in action. Oh, come on, I want a little better amen. I'm not the only one that wants to be holy. Can I improve in my holiness? Yes. And it has nothing to do with my hair. Has nothing to do with my clothes. Has nothing to do with all this outer stuff that religious people get all caught up in. Has everything to do with an abundance of grace causing me to reign in this life by one Christ Jesus. See, I want to reign. See, some of you think, yeah, I want to reign. I want to be an overcomer. What we're supposed to reign over is lust. What we're supposed to reign over is covetousness. What we're supposed to reign over is lying. What we're supposed to reign over is cheating. What we're supposed to reign over is cooking the books. what we're supposed to reign over is grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen. And stress and frustration. These are the things that grace causes you to reign in this life. Now let's just look at some scriptures to verify this. I'm really going to get into this a little bit later, a little heavier. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. I'm trying to make sure I show you biblically grace and how it works, because I'm telling you, there's a paradigm that people have that they're hung on, and they got to break loose from that. Grace is God's power working in our lives. Grace is God's strength perfected in human weakness. And grace is God's ability versus man's ability. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. Notice that grace and peace can be multiplied unto you. Everyone in here has grace. If you're saved, you've received saving grace. Amen. And all of us have a grace to do something in this world. A grace to be something. To be an apostle, to be a pastor, to be an evangelist, to be a husband. It takes grace to be a good husband. All right, ladies, you had your chance. It takes grace to be a godly wife. I'm talking bunches of grace. Amen. It takes grace to raise children. Amen. In this culture. You can't raise a functional child in this culture without Jesus. You just can't do it. And some of you are praying you beat the odds, and you won't. Not in this world. Not in this generation. You better go get the grace. You better learn how to grow in grace. You better learn how to multiply. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. See, if grace just meant unmerited favor, how could you get it multiplied? And why would you need it multiplied? If I have the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God, then how could I have it multiplied unto me? But if it's power, strength, and ability, I can have that multiplied unto me. Because I've been doing this long enough now that I pretty well know where my measure of grace ends. I know where I'm not able to be gracious to people anymore. Do you know, compared to where I was 20 years ago, I'm very gracious to people in certain situations. I'm able to give them favor. I'm able to show kindness toward them when they don't deserve it. But if you discovered your limit, see, we're back on this gracious thing. Some of you looking at me like, I don't have no limit because I don't have no graciousness. So this illustration isn't working two times in a row. I'm serious. Y'all were quiet on the same issue twice. Am I making sense? Am I doing all right? Gracious. That's God's grace, God's power, God's ability to be favorable to somebody and to show them kindness when they don't deserve it. Amen. It's called Christianity. Amen. A novel idea. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm doing better today operating in a measure of grace, God's power, God's strength, God's ability to be kind when people don't deserve it. But it can be exhausted still. And there's a couple of you that I have in mind as I've scanned the crowd. I'm not stopping on anybody. That I'm maxed out, dude. I'm going to have to get some grace multiplied. Amen. To put up with you instead of 3 days. I won't put up 4 days with you. Amen. Do you know in marriage, when your marriage is stressed out, grace, God's grace, will cause you to be able to bear that thing and endure that thing to get it fixed, but you can run out. You flat run out. And so, but if you could have it multiplied, what if you could have it multiplied? What if you could have God's power, God's strength, and God's ability multiplied? Wouldn't that be awesome? I obtained an abundance of grace raising two sons, two functional sons, two godly sons, two pure sons. I'm not talking about perfect, but I'm talking about pure sons. I found out I need grace and peace multiplied unto me raising daughters. I thought I had arrived until them girls got older. See, if you haven't had any girls, if all you've had is boys, you don't even qualify as a parent yet. You ain't even a man till you raise a woman. It takes a man to raise a woman. I need to multiply grace. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Just turn over a couple pages. 2 Peter chapter 3. To get the context of this, I'm going to have to read a little more than I'd like, but I don't want to just tell you this context because this is one of many chapters, many scriptures when it deals with grace. It also talks about holiness. See, I was a part of circles where they said grace covers sin. And the mindset was sin doesn't matter. It's covered. Yeah, we need to do better. But holiness was not an emphasis. Then you can jump into the other ditch of legalism, where the whole kingdom of heaven is about holiness and the goal becomes being holy. And I've taught you better than that, that the goal of Christianity is not to be holy. The goal is to know God. The message is not holiness, it's Jesus Christ and the cross. But when Jesus Christ and the cross is preached, and when the goal is knowing God, holiness is a byproduct of the grace of God working in your life. It just is. Matter of fact, this would work. Go to Titus. Just before Hebrews, just back up, it's a few pages. Titus chapter 2, I don't want to quote it to you. I want you to mark this one. And I think it fits right now well with what I'm saying. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 11. Hold your place there now, Peter. Don't lose that one. I'm going right back there. 2 Peter there. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 11. For the grace of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Wow, I love that. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. The power of God, the strength of God in human weakness, God's ability has appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Look at it. Teaching us. Everybody say teaching us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice where our focus is. It's on Jesus and Him appearing. He's the message. Knowing God is the goal. But notice that grace, the grace of God that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world. Amen. Grace doesn't cover sin. Grace teaches you to live right. To be holy. To repent. To change. That's why if you start growing in grace and an abundance of grace, God's power, God's ability, and God's strength perfected in human weakness, you become more holy and more holy as you progress closer and closer to the Lord. You break the power of that pull of the world, and there's a new power pulling you toward God. I feel driven. This is so cool. I don't care if religious people never get it. It's just so cool. I feel driven now to do what's right and have to work hard at doing what's wrong. I used to be driven to do what's wrong and have to work really hard to try to do what's right. That's grace. That's not human power. That's not my willpower. I'm as weak in my willpower today as I was in 1965 before I met the Lord. My willpower hasn't changed to overcome sin. An abundance of grace has come to me over the years. And I've multiplied in grace and peace. And grace has taught me. Grace has taught me. Sin don't matter. Don't worry about it. Try to do a little better. That's not what grace taught me. It taught me that we shouldn't be ungodly and live in worldly lust. Amen. Praise God. Now go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. And let me try this again. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read these passages. A little bit lengthy, but it's worth it. We love the Bible. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's God's will, verse 9, forever settled. God wills for everybody to be saved, amen? Amen? God wants everybody saved. Jesus died for everybody. He didn't just die for a few of us. He didn't die for a select elect. He didn't die for a predestinated group. He died for everyone, amen? Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, since Jesus is coming back, how many of us believe that? Most of us, okay. And everything's going to dissolve. It's all going to be purged by fire. Everything's going to be burned up. All the wood, the chaff, everything natural, and only the kingdom and things of the kingdom will endure. Since we know that's going to happen, I love the scriptures. What kind of person you think we ought to be then? How should we live? Holy. Verse 12 says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. Amen. And what will dwell? Righteousness. Verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their destruction. Remember, I got to stop. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I thought, you got to read the Bible. You got to trust me on this one. Lots of people go to church, never read the Bible. And I, to a measure, was one of those people. And I'd always heard, I heard, this is embarrassing. I heard that scripture, at least half of it, for years, and started quoting it, how hard the Apostle Paul's writings were to understand. Well, that Paul, he's hard to understand. That Paul had some deep things. That Paul, boy, he was heavy. Had the heavy revies. I remember the first time I read that, I freaked out. Look at it again, verse 16. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, what things? The earth dissolving, things being burnt by fire, a new heaven, a new earth. How you ought to live holy, those things. In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable. Unlearned means ignorant. To the ignorant and unstable, Paul's writings are hard. And then it says these people twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And man, I've met a lot of them. Twist the scriptures to their own destruction. Don't ever say the Apostle Paul's writings are hard. Or we'll know who you are. I quit saying that. Verse 17. Now, here's where I want to go. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The error of the wicked. Saints, there is a spirit released in our generation that flaunts wickedness. That tries to embarrass you as a New Testament believer with the grace of God in your life for saying something's wicked. That's an abomination. We don't have enough senators in this country, both Democrat and Republican. We ought to kick every one of them out according to their vote today. They ought to, some of them, be put up for treason on not protecting our borders. We don't have enough godliness and leadership in America to see the need to defend the institution of marriage that is under assault. And we're considered mean. We're insensitive. We are homophobic. We are religious bigots. Because we know, we don't believe. I don't believe. Let me tell you something. I do not believe for 1 minute that homosexuality is a sin and an abomination. I don't believe that. I know it. I know it. And these people are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven if they don't repent. And if we don't say this is wrong, and if they buy into it, believing it's natural and okay, they're doomed for eternal damnation. And yet I am mean. I'm mean because I don't want to see somebody go to hell. I'm mean because I believe there's right and wrong and that there's no gray in certain areas. That's not what God says. One of the reasons I do read a lot of scriptures to you is you got no excuse now. You're reading it with me. We are supposed to be holy. Some things are unholy. Some things are wrong. And you and I are not to be partakers in that. While we don't condemn people, we can't condone unrighteousness. Because Jesus is coming back and there's going to be judgment in this earth. Amen. 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 Now, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Why did He say we need to grow in grace? Because we keep falling short. We keep making mistakes. We're not perfect. We mess up. That's what's so hard to get over. One of the reasons you can't go on TV and get this over is they only give you 15 to 30 seconds to make a comment. You can butcher anybody apart in 15, 30 seconds. Look how many hours it takes for me to explain to you what grace is. And how that we have to be holy people, but we can't be holy in and of ourselves. We can't be holy in human power, willpower. We can't be holy in human strength. We can't be holy in our own ability. We need grace. And we need to grow in grace. Now, if grace just meant unmerited favor, how can you grow in unmerited favor? Unmerited favor is unmerited favor. Now, go to 1 Peter 5, back up to there. Everybody okay? Got just a few more minutes. Hang in there. Praise God. We're going to close the door on the ark soon. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He gives grace to who? Do you know what James said, the brother of Jesus? He said that God gives more grace to the humble. He said more grace to the humble. Do you know there's something you got to do to get more grace? You got to humble yourself. Now, if grace was unmerited favor, how come I have to do something to get more of it? If it was unmerited favor, there isn't anything I can do to get any more of it, and there isn't anything I can do wrong to get any less of it. But grace is not unmerited favor. Grace is God's power, God's strength, and God's ability in your human weakness. And you can get more of it. How you get more of it? You humble yourself. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. One of the things that you hear very little preaching and teaching on is divine frustration. Some of you are frustrated, but it's not the devil. You're frustrated, but it's not the devil. That right there is New Testament. And in the New Testament, Peter said and James said, God will resist the proud. Can I get a witness? If you got God resisting you and Satan sifting you, you're hurting for certain. You don't have a prayer, darling. I mean, you are headed for crash and burn if you're going to be prideful and arrogant. God Almighty Himself will resist you in your pride. But when you humble yourself, He gives you more grace. More grace. One more and I'll quit. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. One of the most powerful displays of grace that's ever happened on the planet. And it'll help us now launch. This is our third hour. And we're going to get after it now next time. In Hebrews chapter 2, I was going to read more to you, but I'm out of time. Let's just look at one passage. Mark it, please. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. How did Jesus overcome in the Garden of Gethsemane to go to the cross to taste death for every man? By God's grace. By God's grace. And I promise we'll look at this. It's just exploding in me. I'm going to stay within my time constraints, but I just want to whet your appetite a little bit. Remember in the garden, when He took Peter, James, and John with Him, He said, boys, stay right here and pray that you will not enter into temptation. Then He went and prayed. What was He praying about? He's praying about the cross. He's praying about the cup of suffering. Remember, He got up and He walked out and He found the guys asleep and kicked them. Well, I put that in there, but should have kicked them. Woke them up. He went back and prayed again. Remember that? Went back and found them messing up again. Went back a third time, prayed again. Not my will, but thine be done. See, in His humanity, He didn't want to die. He didn't want to suffer the death He's going to suffer. He needed power. He needed God's strength in human weakness. In that same book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. We get grace by praying, by seeking God. And He didn't get enough of it the first time to go all the way to the cross. So He went back. The disciples didn't get any of it, so they entered into sin. They entered into disobeying God because sin is a power. And they didn't go get the grace to overcome the power of sin. Jesus went to the throne and got grace so He could taste of death for every man. What an unmerited favor. Jesus didn't need any unmerited favor. If anybody merited the favor of God, it was Jesus. He didn't need any unmerited favor, but He did need God's power. He did need God's strength, and He did need God's ability. And so do you, and so do I. And it's at a throne. And we can go get it in time of need. See, you're going to discover, if you stick with me, you can't store up grace. It comes in time of need through relationship with Jesus. That's why you see some people demonstrate such great grace and power. And then a week later, bam, you find them in hideous sin. Do you know you've never sinned right after you prayed and went to the throne? You sinned because you didn't pray and go to the throne. Come on. None of you left an hour of prayer with God and went and did what you didn't want to do. No, you didn't pray and go spend time with God, so you went and did what you didn't want to do. But if you'll go spend time with God and get more grace and get grace multiplied through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, now you cannot do what you didn't want to do and go do what God wants you to do by the grace of God through faith. Amen. Felt a little choppy tonight, but it was good. It was good. Want you to stand. I want to pray for you.